You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
There are a lot of disparate stories around COVID that are happening simultaneously at the moment. And since it's been a while since I've had a solid chat about COVID, I figured it would be appropriate to piece together exactly what's been going on. There are currently a number of cases within managed isolation facilities, the most recent of which has been part of a cluster at the Grand Millennium Managed Isolation Facility. Part of why that is concerning is the fact that those staff members should have received vaccinations already. However, with the known incubation period of COVID-19, as well as the necessity for two doses of the vaccine, there are several reasons why a recently vaccinated worker could still become infected. However, it's all a bit unclear whether these workers were vaccinated, and if so, how long ago they were. That uncertainty has prompted the National Party to call for unvaccinated border workers to be removed from the front line. This is also followed on from revelations that certain staff members had missed out on their vaccine appointments. The Prime Minister agreed with this call from the opposition and has started the process of redeploying unvaccinated staff to other roles, expressing her expectation that all border staff be vaccinated. However, further concern stems from the fact that this redeployment process is due to take about 2 weeks, with workers having until the end of April to get vaccinated. As such, border safety has become a bit of a controversial topic within Parliament, resulting in disagreements over timelines and how best to ensure the security of the process. This is all to set up the big topic of the week, which is the government's decision to temporarily suspend travel from India. Amid this confusion over how to treat our border, 60 passengers travelling from India have tested positive for COVID-19 within the last 2 weeks, marking a significant proportion of the roughly 100 active cases in managed isolation at the moment. As such, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announced last week that they would temporarily suspend all travel from India until the 28th of April. There was a grace period, obviously, allowing for NZ citizens who were already on their way from India to get through before the gates closed, but the decision has effectively stranded a number of NZ citizens in India for the next couple of weeks. The government has been playing their cards pretty close to their chest in terms of their precise reasoning, but the time frame for the suspension does line up almost perfectly with the time period given to the reshuffling of border staff. On top of this, there is a suggestion that a number of passengers travelling from India over recent weeks had falsified their test results, as around 40 passengers back in March had initially shown negative in their pre-departure testing and then subsequently returned a positive result upon their landing. Though the issue of fake results is not exclusive to India, the NZ government has acknowledged that a high number of positive cases have originated from India in particular. Even still, there hasn't been a lot of transparency in their decision-making. My explanation is almost entirely speculative based on scattered information from the past few weeks, and that lack of any firm explanation hasn't sit well with a lot of people. The Human Rights Commission released a statement on Friday that urged the government to provide some transparency, as the decision effectively restricts a significant number of New Zealanders' freedom of movement. Though the Human Rights Commission isn't outright rejecting the decision, acknowledging the need for COVID restrictions, they have expressed concern that the government isn't adequately justifying their decision to limit the basic rights of a group of people. By avoiding a proper explanation, the government is preventing organisations like the Human Rights Commission from properly ascertaining whether the response is lawful and appropriate. A number of private citizens have expressed their outrage at the decision, with many having booked flights for this week and thus being prevented from returning home. There is also concern that the suspension could be extended, with the government thus far refusing to rule out the possibility. If the government is unable to ensure the security of our uncertain border, the travel ban could continue for a number of weeks. Others have accused the government of discrimination, noting that India has fewer active cases per capita than other countries. This is once again an issue of communication, with the government refusing to adequately explain why they've suspended travel from this country in particular, as opposed to other nations with similar conditions. Now, we're verging back into speculation territory here, but it's likely that the reason why this is the case is due to the large Indian diaspora within New Zealand. In other words, a large number of NZ citizens are of Indian descent, and thus we have more people travelling to and from India compared to those other countries. It's currently unclear whether any NZ citizens affected by the travel ban will be supported in any way, with the Auckland Indian Association planning to approach the government to see if any support can be provided. As it stands, a lot of the outrage surrounding this decision is due to the government's own lack of transparency. It appears as though the decision was made to reduce the stress on the border as it goes through a transitional phase, but the suspension has now ballooned into a completely different issue. It's definitely a story to pay attention to over the coming weeks as more information is provided. Ka kite, thanks for listening, and we'll see you after this next track.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.